to the past. We knew love would last every night. Something right would invite us to begin the day.
All right. Welcome back. The Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Wish. Sandy, how do we, you know, how do we begin to get out of this quandary we're in this country from the standpoint that we see all these shootings that are going on this weekend, for heaven's sakes? More and more, and yet the gun prices, the stock has soared with the killings of the American people, the slaughter of the American peoples, yet the gun stocks have gone up, and yet we can't even have a civil conversation, Sandy, about the fact that American people are being slaughtered. This divide is going to, barring some unforeseen circumstance, is going to be a death knell for this nation.
Well, what astounds me is that there's more and more open talk about how the Second Amendment is really there to protect the right of the American people to stand up and fight their government in the circumstance in which they feel they're being required to live under what they view personally as unconstitutional laws. I mean, we have a whole system of government that allows people to test the constitutionality of laws in the U.S. Supreme Court. And so, presumably, laws that are in effect are constitutional until they've been proven unconstitutional, but there's a whole group of people who believe that they should have, in fact, barely 20 million of them, believe that they should be able to have assault rifles, and other people who believe they should be armed so they can defend themselves against the enforcement of what they think are unconstitutional laws. And what is it that they think are unconstitutional laws? I mean, you know, there's a kind of a dog whistle aspect to what it is they're talking about at these meetings when they talk like that. And I think it's horrifying. And I'm astounded that sensible people who want to protect what is the American system, want to succumb to that kind of a society, that kind of a societal view. And the NRA appears to be part of the people who are building that view of the world, you know, which is us against them, with them being the government. I mean, we're talking now about real anarchy. We're talking about civil war and revolution, insurrection. I mean, we already saw the beginning of an insurrection on January 6th.
You know, and Sandy, that what we saw was just a small snippet of what's out there, right?
Yeah.
And so it's become just the norm, these continued, you know, slaughters.
Part of Trumpism was the valor of standing up against the government. That's a sign of valor and bravery and someone who was going to succumb to the government in a way. For instance, you know, how the government counts electoral college votes. Apparently, that was a question of the vice president was a weak person.
You're right,
because he wasn't willing to stand up against the principle of law that was being applied there.
And so the people who have joined forces with Donald Trump, and he's considered to be a patriot in some instances, a guy who when his opportunity came, to be a real patriot and to join the armed services, he did everything he could to weasel out of that.
Yeah, well, patriotism in many countries, including ours, a nationalist patriotism, is essentially that you're standing up for the government as you think it should be rather than as it is. So we've got a lot of people now who would ascribe patriotism to people who essentially want to overthrow the government as it is right now and turn it into something else. And the horror of that is, what is that something else? And what is it that they think is wrong with the government as it is? And to me, there's a bunch of underlying, very troublesome social issues about that. And part of it is, I think, this notion that what's fundamental to the American society for a bunch of people is the notion that it is fundamentally a Judeo-Christian white society that is run in a manner that favors the Judeo-Christian order.
You know, Sandy, after it's all said and done, you just get to a point where you look down the road. And that's what you and I do. We constantly look down the road beyond our time and try to figure it out for those who come after us, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I always tell people, they say, well, you know, if you don't like it here, you know, I mean, and I'm like, man, listen, this battle is not for you and I. Come on. Can you imagine leaving the world?
Well, you know, a lot of
leaving this country in the kind of condition it's going to be in 10, 15 years, 20 years from now, Sandy? I mean, really?
A lot of Germans fled Germany when Hitler arose, and a lot of them were told, you know, love it or leave it, love this is the fatherland, love it or leave it. And in retrospect, a lot of others probably wished they had left. That admonition is the standard admonition of the nationalist patriot, which, you know, it's basically a purge. You know, if you don't like it here, leave. We want unanimity in this country. We don't want debate.
You know, Sandy, the nation that we all love so much is transforming before our eyes. And not for the better. And the people and the people of the nation, because that's what it is. It's the people of the nation. The nation is still, this is still one of the most beautiful lands on the entire earth. And so, but there's something about the thought processes of the people. And how do you begin to get them to understand What's happening here? And as you look at your grandbabies and you say, wow, man, you know.
Well, my fear is that we've got to get people to look at real issues that matter. And I think the way to do it is to get people to constantly talk about families and
actually
talk about it as a matter of fact, so they can look at how families are forced to live today and how a majority of families are living today, and to look at the youth of this country and the born and unborn. And worry about that. And if we did worry about that a lot more, we could start evaluating the difference between spending $1 trillion in Afghanistan and spending $1 trillion in the United States on other things. And what other things would we spend it on? Or because we decided we could afford to spend it when we spent it in Afghanistan, but we apparently have trouble deciding we can afford it when we're talking about spending it in America. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we simply have an open checkbook for our Defense Department, and yet our checkbook is carefully monitored when it comes time to spending money for American people.
You know, Sandy, families have worth. People have worth. And, yeah, it's nice to build, skyscraper to heaven. That's probably going to be a beautiful building that looks really nice and opulent. But I don't know how that has more value than a human being, and we're okay with building that skyscraper, you know, to the moon. But we somehow can't feel the connection with another human being in this society. And
well, I mean, I think even if we ask people to just look at it with steely hard eyes based on their financial self-interest, they would realize that from their financial self-interest, they would be much better off if every child born in this country was born into a situation of opportunity such that they could become a successful participant in not just society, which is sort of for themselves, but in the economy,
right,
for in a manner that would benefit themselves and everyone else. And the problem we have today is that there's a significant portion of our society which is unable to enter our economy and to participate in it successfully. And if they were able to, our economy would be doing even better than it does.
So as the economy, you know, changes, which and morphs, which it is, I was reading something the other day where they talked about even more technology is the answer to what's happening in this country. We can't rely on people. We've got to rely on technology, and the technology eliminates more and more opportunities for people. That can't be a good thing, Sandy.
Well, but you can see now, we all worried about how artificial intelligence might cause there to be not enough jobs for too many people.
Right.
But right now, we have a lot of jobs without the people available for them. And some of those jobs are service jobs to which people don't want to return because it wasn't a good career when they look back on it. But a lot of those jobs are jobs that simply require correct training and the people aren't available for them. And if we had an economy that was far better at training people and making them available to the economy, we'd have a better system right now.
You know, we just continue to deal with these issues that continue to plague us, that continue to plague us as a society. And listen, we just have to make it a priority, whether or not it happens or not. We have to do it. Got to go to a break. Hang on the phones. We'll be right to you. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.